Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of RE/MAX Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC, and my co-host, as always, is Dave Faulkner from Bridgewater, New Jersey's RE/MAX Preferred Professionals in the Enviro Realty Team. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Everything's going really well here. We had a great summer, and my Mets are on fire. And so, you know, life is good right now. Having fun.
Now we took some time off over the summer. We've been on a hiatus. This is the first show that we've had back. I normally start the show asking you a question, and I am going to ask you a question. But you mentioned something off the top that I want to remind our viewers of. Now, our European viewers that are watching today's show, I apologize for the next 30 seconds of conversation. During spring training, I want to remind everybody who's watching this show, Dave chose the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets to be in the World Series, and I didn't dream that we would be this close to that possibility existing back in spring training, because both teams have shocked me. Your Mets are absolutely on fire.
They are, and Toronto is, I think, they're in first place as of right now.
Right?
Yeah, team and a half in front, and I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
it'll be
okay.
Interesting.
We apologize for the European viewers watching the show for the very first time because of today's guest. We were talking Major League Baseball. Now, Dave, I start off every show when I ask you a question, and this is going to be a really, really unfair question for you. But given the fact that we're going to have a bunch of new viewers watching the show that haven't seen the show before, what do you think is the best episode we've ever done that you would encourage people to go and take a look at if this is the first time they've seen the show?
That would probably be Lee Brown.
Okay.
You want some interesting things? Watch Lee Brown. And I think, I don't, you know, we're probably going to talk a little about how real estate is sold in Germany.
Yeah.
But I think that her message is worldwide.
Yep. No, I do agree. So there you go. That's Dave's opinion. This is the first time you've watched this show. You're a new viewer to Mobile Agent TV. Go to mobileagenttv.com. Go to the YouTube channel. Find Lee Brown's episode and watch that. That being said, we might have some deal breaker shows coming out that might knock those off. Here's what we have in store for you guys over the next month or so. Next week, we're going to have Judy Weiniger on the show. We're going to ask Judy 15 questions of a top producing RE/MAX agent. And Judy and I have had a bit of a back and forth online over the last few days. This, I know, will be a showstopper episode. She is so smart and so willing to share and so real. It's fantastic. September 11th, Mr. Passanelli, as I have to call him legally, is coming on the show to talk about how you're going to grow and convert your email list, something that we haven't tackled before on the show. Live from Victoria, October 15th, Valerie Garcia will be sitting in Dave's chair being our co-host. We have award-winning author Jeremy Gooch on the show, as well as Wade Patterson, Elton Ash, and Gurinder Sandhu. Then the following 4 days later, we are live from New Jersey's Tech Rally, RE/MAX of New Jersey Tech Rally on October the 20th, where our guests will be Valerie Garcia and Jeff Lobb, and this will be the first time Dave and I have done a live show outside of Las Vegas. If this is the first time you've seen the show, I encourage you go to mobileagenttv.com and sign up for our newsletter, as well as if you're watching right now on the blog, the Q&A feature is installed. You can just go ahead and ask your questions of today's guest, and we'll make sure that they get asked, as well as you can get us on Twitter using the hashtag MATVLive, and I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. All right, so let's dive into this. This is the first time in 3 years we've gone across the pond over to Europe to get to have our guests come on the show. Now, it is tradition that we read out our guest's 160 Twitter bio, but our guest's 160 Twitter bio is in German, so that won't be happening. But you can get our guest, who is...
It would be funny if you tried, though.
It would be hysterical. You can get our guest, Misha Kuntz, on Twitter, at Misha Kuntz, M-I-S-C-H-K-U-N-Z. He is the regional co-owner and director of regional operations for RE/MAX Germany Southwest. He is the director of regional operations for RE/MAX of Austria. and a member of the board for RE/MAX Switzerland. Welcome to the show, Misha.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody all over.
Exactly. So Misha, you're doing your business primarily over in Germany right now, but you do have a very interesting history in the real estate space. You are a young, fresh face, but you have a lot of experience in the business. So why don't you give our audience a little bit of history about your history in the real estate industry?
Sure. Thank you very much for hosting me. I'm looking forward to that. We're having a great summer night out here, and I'm looking forward to some fun and party with my friends later on. It's 7 o'clock here, and the sun has just set, so I'm looking forward to that. Myself, I've started in RE/MAX 1998, so it's coming the 17th year, and I started working in Florida. I have my real estate license in Florida, so I have a little bit of
You're still there, Misha. Just you can keep going there.
Okay, I thought I was cut out. Nope. So I started in Florida, and
your audio goes in and out. I'm sure it's being did it cut out for you, Dave, too, as well?
Yeah.
It's all right, Misha. It's all right. This is amazing. The technology exists that we have you all the way from over here. So go ahead and I don't know why you're cutting up, but keep going.
I'm getting voices from all over the place. So Google is kind of letting us down today. We'll see what happens.
So you were practicing real estate in Florida.
Let me just close another window and see if that
sure.
is better here.
Yeah, no problem.
I think
actually, while you're closing the window, Misha, we're going to figure this out. Let's go to a screen share, Dave. Let's talk about what you wanted to talk about real quick. I think let me pop it open here.
I think it works much better now. So you can go ahead but keep going.
No. You know what? That now that I've said that, let me just quickly pop it open. Oh, I closed it down. I'll pull it up during the show. We want to talk about the Children's Miracle Network, and we will definitely be doing that. But let's go back to you, Misha, now that we have you. You were selling real estate in Florida.
In Florida, yeah. Yep. Started out as an agent in Miami, and I loved that very much. One of the best times of my life. And after that, I came back to Europe because it's just a fun place to be, and it's my home, and that's where all the action is at the moment. We have a really diverse market, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview for the North American people who might not have been to Europe at some point. Europe is a little larger than the U.S. in terms of population. It's a little over 500 million people, and as you can imagine, with over 24 languages and over 30 different countries, it's a very diverse market. There's some states... some nations that are smaller than 200,000 people. Actually, there's a few of them that are smaller than 200,000 people. And then there's larger states like France and Germany that some people probably have visited at some point. So it's a very diverse market, and I have a little bit of experience in the Central European German-speaking area, but I've also had the opportunity to meet my lovely Spanish wife in Spain. So I have a little bit of Spanish blood in my veins there. And the marketplace is very different. I was surprised when I came back from Florida that some of the things that I didn't know didn't exist here were taken for granted over there, and some of the things that existed over here didn't exist in Florida. So it was a fun journey to see and see the differences and see what that does to a market and what that does to a brand and what that does to the lives of myself as an individual agent. So that was cool. That was cool to see.
And that's really what, I mean, we're going to dig into that today throughout the episode. I think there's going to be a lot of viewers, North American viewers, that when we explain the model that exists in Europe, we'll have no idea that that's the way real estate works. And it's going to be very interesting. And then through that conversation, Misha, I think there's some opportunities for our audience to see things from a different angle and perhaps add some value and some nuggets to be taken away for their business. But before we just dive into that, what is your role currently with RE/MAX over in Europe?
Currently, I'm mostly working in franchise development. So I'm helping agents and offices in my regions to develop their business. So I mostly travel around from office to office and help them and bring ideas that I picked up at one office, bring them to the next office and so forth, and bring projects forward that help everybody and create a uniform brand. Because what we can see and I'm going to dive into that a little bit later again, is the more we shape the brand in a uniform way, the more commission our agents make. So even though it's important for an agent to be distinguished and be different in the marketplace, the more we become uniform in a sense, the more helps everybody in their commission and getting attracting clients to their business.
Absolutely, and we're going to really dig into that because that's something that I know Dave is really passionate about, and I'm becoming more and more aware of that value as the years go on that I spend at RE/MAX, that being valuable. So in a nutshell, the North American real estate agent goes out and lists a property and represents the seller, and then a North American real estate agent starts a relationship with a buyer. Both people help those parties through the entire transaction, and there's a commission put up by the seller that the proceeds come out of the sale of the property that are for the benefit of the selling agent as well as the listing agent, and both parties in the transaction are represented. The very different model that exists, I think, throughout Europe or most of Europe, is that the real estate agent over there signs a listing agreement with the property to be offered for sale, and the buyer really goes about the purchasing and finding and viewing properties on their own with no representation, and they're kind of left to do that. So the one thing that I have a hard time getting my head around, and I think this is where we can start, Amisha, is that I develop a relationship with a seller, Tom and Judy, and I put their house on the market, we market the property, I get a buyer, we go through the sale contract, I protect their interest, I give them great service, and then they want to go purchase a property, and I kind of say, good luck, bye, and all that relationship that I've had with that seller is gone away because I'm not really on the side of helping the buyer through the process. That is a very different model than we're used to. And so, Misha, on that note, quickly in a nutshell, is that the way it is? Explain the not for RE/MAX, but just in general, what the current real estate model is in Europe.
Yeah, in general, it's very different. I mean, I try to speak for as many countries as I know and can, even though there might be areas where it's a little bit different. And I mostly, when I talk about what I've experienced in the German, Austrian, Switzerland, and some other European markets. But in general, for a buyer, it's a little more complicated to find a home than it is in North America. And when I have a few differences that I can bring on the board, which is maybe interesting for everybody also in North America to see. So what can we take from that and what can we learn from that and apply it in our marketplace, even though we don't have to deal with that? Even though we have those restrictions create a lot of opportunities as well. So if you want to picture that, for a regular buyer to find a home, you probably have to call 20, 30, 40, 50 different agents. And then if you're lucky, and in most cases, hopefully, you would get a call back, and then you would talk about the property with the agent. And if you like the property, then you will go and visit the property. And if you don't like the property for some reason, then you would ask the agent to maybe find something else for him. And the agent would probably say, well, at the moment, I don't have anything else for you in stock, but if something comes on the market, I will let you know. The problem is, though, in the next 6 months, it's very unlikely that one agent has a similar property, in a similar price range, in a similar area that would suit that buyer. So the buyer really doesn't ever hear again from the agent. And since in many countries, depending on the market situation, of course, but in many countries, buyer commissions are commonplace, the buyer often feels like, hey, I'm paying 6% or 7% or 5% or 4% of commission. I saw that agent once. I contacted him because I found him. He opened the door. He was maybe more helpful or less helpful, depending on the professionalism of that agent. And I never heard back from him. And that one agent that you as a consumer finally buy a home from, let's say you buy a $500,000 home and you pay $30,000 in commission, you really ask yourself what that particular agent did for you, even though the other 29 agents that you visited with, they performed their work and they invested time as well for you for free, but really the consumer has less of an understanding of what the value of real estate agents in general are to me as a buyer and to me as a seller. So that's a big difference in terms of the two marketplaces. What that creates though, and that's where the opportunity comes in, since many agents or many consumers don't understand as much what the value of an agent is, they often choose to go FSBOs. So they choose to sell their home by themselves. And then in many areas, we have 60%, 70%, 40%, 50% for sale by owners. And if you're good at calling FSBOs, marketing your service, following up with them, knowing the right scripts for well-trained agents, that creates tremendous opportunity, and that's where for the clever and well-trained people, a lot of fun and a lot of commission is in store. Another basic thing that you probably or some people probably know is that in many countries there's no systemized form of cooperation going on between agents. So if you have a property and you put it on market, you depend as an agent to sell that particular property to the buyer that you have to find. And you cannot rely, because agents in many cases don't want to cooperate, or at least don't actively seek cooperation out within the industry. It means that if you don't find the buyer, of course, you're not going to earn any commission. You have invested all the marketing, and the chances of finding the buyer are much lower for you, and you lose the listing. And this creates a lot of difficult situations for the sellers as well, because they don't feel like you're getting the best price for them, because all of the buyers that have contacted other agents are not brought to visit your property. So the sellers lose out, the buyers lose out, the agents lose out. Basically, it's a lose-lose-lose situation. And that's something that we really have to wrap our head around and see how we can figure that out and get governments and all the necessary institutions involved to get that going, because it's a huge benefit for the consumer if we were to get cooperation really going in the industry.
Dave, I know you're chomping at a bit.
I have some questions because I'm a little confused. So who actually pays the commission in a real estate transaction when it takes place there? Who actually pays the money? I mean, in reality, here in the States, even though the seller puts that out or a certain percentage, it's always really the buyer that brings the money to the closing. But it's the seller that has a representation and you have a fiduciary relationship with them, and they pay the commission. Who pays the commission in the scenario you just gave us?
There's no real answer to that, because it's very regional. Like in Germany, for example, we have three, four different models. In some areas, only the buyer pays. In other areas, only the seller pays. In other areas, it's half-half. In some countries, it's prohibited that one or the other pays. In other countries, it's prohibited that both pay. It's chaos. As you can imagine, if you have 30 different countries, you have 30 different legislations. And you can compare it with the 52 different states in the U.S. or the 50 and, what is it, 52? Yeah.
52. And you mentioned the word corporation a couple times. Is that what are you talking about? Agency relationship is there when you use that word?
Yeah, like corporation, the sense of
person, you sign a contract with them, and we have a binding agreement between two parties. Is that what you mean?
The way I worked in Florida, as you know, is you had your listing, you had your agreement with the seller, and then in most cases you wouldn't find the buyer yourselves. Some other agent from your company or from the MLS would find the buyer, and he would share the commission evenly. And that's usually what not happens, since many agents, and that's what you have to look at, the agent industry is very fragmented. In Germany, for example, the average brokerage has 1.2 employees, including the owner. So it's usually only him or herself. There are bigger chains, banks, and bigger companies as well. But a 5-people office is a big office. A 10-people office is a mega office in many marketplaces here. And And due to that fragmentation, sometimes those people, they're not affiliated neither to any brand, nor in many cases is there, like in Germany, for example, there's no requirement, educational requirement to become an agent. My grandmother could become an agent tomorrow, go to the government, to the city hall, pay her fee, and tomorrow can start working as an agent. So the lack of that professionalism leads to habits that don't benefit the consumer sometimes, because the agents that have no idea, they go out, maybe they find the listing through some acquaintance or friend, and they try to figure out what to do with it. And since they're not very professional in getting listings, they don't have very many. So they are forced to sell that property in order to earn anything. And they are not willing to cooperate because they don't have a constant stream of new listings coming in. And that leads to the agent, the listing agent in a sense, being also the buyer's agent at the same time, because there's usually not two agents involved, there's only one agent. And if he doesn't sell that house to that particular client, he's not earning any money. And in the case in the North American model where I am the buyer agent and I help my buyer from a selection of maybe 20 or 30 different properties choose the right one for him, I can really be an advocate for him. I can consult him. I can advise him of risks, of things, of problems with the pool, of problems with the house, of problems whatever in the neighborhood. A European agent, in many cases, is not as has a loyalty conflict with that, because if he advises the guy too much, he's not going to buy. If he doesn't buy, he's not going to earn any money, and he needs to find a new buyer. So that creates a lot of problems, and we have a few solutions for that, but it takes a lot of time, and that's a big opportunity.
What you just described in Europe right now is real estate in New Jersey in 1965. For a fact, that's the way it was. No agency, no organized MLS systems. Every county and every place was a little bit different. You go across to this county line and you're doing business different than you are here. And as we got, it wasn't until even the 90s that we got clear lines of delineation about agency here, and this is in New Jersey and most places in the Northeast, about who's working for who. Prior to that, everybody worked for the seller.
Yep.
The buyers didn't know that. They thought that you were working for them when you put them in your car. We drove them all around, and they thought, you know, I'm your agent. Well, I wasn't your agent. I was working for the seller, and there was no real clear lines. So this show right now, I mean, I was kind of a little fuzzy about what we're going to get out of this. Anybody here in the States that complains at all about the way we do business and having to do this and having to do that, watch this show, listen to what he has to say about what's going on in Europe. I mean, to me, you said the word chaos. I'll take it another level. It's like the Wild West. You guys should be carrying guns over there because it sounds to me like it's crazy. I mean, it must be very difficult for an agent.
But in
a real good living there, I would think.
Dave, I totally agree, but there are people. So what are they doing? Like, that's where the really thing is, too, is here's the thing, too, as well, is I think then you become very product-focused in your marketing. You're looking for product. You're trying to expose the product. Where here, we're much more consumer-based, because what Misha just said was true in my attitude. I don't care which one of the 30 houses my buyer buys. In fact, I do care. I care that it's the right house for them so that I can demonstrate that I did the right job for them so that they can go out there and tell all their friends and family that I took care of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's that social proof in the repeat and referral business where, Dave, could you imagine building a relationship with a seller, doing a great job for them and saying, well, I wish you luck because I don't have the product for you right now. So in that, it's very, very different. So, Misha, let's talk about marketing and prospecting then. If 50% of the properties are for sale by owner, everyone has a sign on the front lawn saying, hey, look, I think I might need some professional help from a professional. It's pretty easy to identify those people. Outside that business model, what do you see some really successful RE/MAX agents doing in order to expose themselves as industry leaders in their marketplace to tell that story so that these people that are potentially wanting to come on the market reach out to a RE/MAX agent to have them represent them? What is it that agents are doing right now to expose their expertise in the marketplace?
Really, in a nutshell, it's for us, even though it sounds like it's a problem, and it's an obstacle, and of course for the consumer it's not good and we should change it. For us as professional agents, it creates tremendous opportunity. There's 500 million people out there. They move every year, they move more often, and they move more around. The European Union has contributed to a lot of common laws, a lot of easier access and changing countries, and so there's a lot of opportunity in the European marketplace. And the restrictions and the problems that we see there compared to the two continents creates the opportunity for us to really professionally hammer and attack the market and grab some great market share there. Because as you said, the FSBO that are out there, apart from that, the consumers have the same need. The seller wants to sell for the best possible price in the time frame they need to move. The buyer wants to have maximum selection of properties and great consultation and great advocacy by an agent. And some companies, Remax included, can offer that by changing a little bit how real estate has changed in Europe, and then at the long-term view, maybe changing it entirely through different regulations. And Dave touched on it. New Jersey was similar maybe 40 or 50 years ago, and the changes probably came in part from the government and the realtor boards that brought the change about. So what the agents here have to do in order to grab that market share is probably very similar to what agents probably everywhere in the world have to do, even though sometimes we lose clients because the situation forces us or forces the client to move away from us because we can't help them anymore because we don't have the product accessible, the listing accessible to us. It still is based around trust. It's based about marketing. It's based around doing performing great service to buyers and sellers. So if we talk about prospecting, and there's 100 different ideas and things you can do, that would probably apply to any market. So we have North American agents coming to Europe, and I can assure you that there's a lot of really, really good European agents out there that are really getting and grabbing their market share, who could be great speakers at conventions in North America or in India or in South Africa for that matter, because the human beast is the same. Consumers want the same thing. And so people do kind of the same things in a sense to stand out. One thing that is different though, and that's what we touched on in the beginning, was that, and that wasn't the case when we started with Remax here. I started my office in 1999 in Munich in Bavaria, and at that point there was only a handful of offices in all of Germany. And Remax took the very North American model of distinguishing each agent, or each agent allowing each agent to distinguish himself and herself in the market from other agents, even other Remax agents. And we found that even though that's a great strategy to follow, and even agents are still allowed and encouraged to do that, we found that the more uniform we become, the much higher impact we have. And it's interesting to compare that if you look, for example, at a market like Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. To give the viewers a little bit of perspective, we have a very, very high market share and very high brand awareness in Austria and Switzerland. In Germany, our brand awareness and market share is lower. And one of the reasons being is that there's less Remax offices on more population size. And we see that the more uniform we become in Switzerland or Austria, that a lot more buyers and sellers choose to go to a Remax agent, and that eventually benefits all of them. So we have a different marketing approach a little bit in the last 10 years taken.
And I agree, and we talked about this a little bit, Misha, before we got on the show. So if that's the model and the benefit, because there's less Remax agents, there's less Remax offices, and there's more population, that being uniform, being together, having that power is beneficial, then wouldn't it still be beneficial with more offices and more Remax agents and less population as it is in North America, Dave? And I, you know, at the beginning of trying to differentiate myself when we were with a brand that didn't have the recognition of a Remax, now that we've year 4 or 5 here with Remax, I do see that all the signs should be the same, all business cards should be the same. Like, I do see the personal brand, it's important to tell a personal story, but there is such enormous benefit that I do see us, I'm more aware of it now, of that consistency falling down in places, Dave, and maybe touch on, because I know you're super passionate about that.
Yeah, well, you've heard me right from day one on this show. I mean, we even had a little incident once. We were interviewing somebody up in Canada, and he tried to pull up this sign in the back that was, like, totally not Remax. And Michael going, don't go there, don't go there. It was pretty interesting. But anyway, look, I was here in New Jersey in the very beginning, kind of like where you are in Germany, right? And we didn't have anything else different. It's like everybody had this business card right here, red, white, excuse me, just looks like a sign. There were no different business cards. And everybody had the same little name badge, and all the signs were the same. And we grew. And then we got big here, and now... And sometimes, you know, there's people out there with their own little signs and their own little trying to brand themselves away from Remax, even though they're Remax. And I totally believe that that's hurt us. And, you know, I mean, you're in the same place we were back in 1987 when I first started here. And just, you know, this thing is so powerful to kind of brand yourself and connect yourself with the Remax thing. I would imagine, you know, tell me if I'm wrong here, I don't really know exactly. How does the is the model there for the agent similar to the States, where they're paying maybe a desk fee, or how does it generally work there for the agent? Is there something in what you do that would require that the agents that join Remax in Europe or in Germany or wherever have to do more production just because of the way the business model is set up, and then they get more of their commission? Is that kind of the way it works?
One of the things that was done here, and I think was very helpful for our development, was offering what the state or the government didn't offer, or offering what the realtor boards didn't offer. So two things that really distinguish Remax agents from the mom and pop shop out there in the industry is that a Remax agent has to go through required training. There's some training days and training programs that people have to go through. In many cases, that's not only a couple of days, but many weeks of training that people have to go through. And that really helps in having a standard of professionalism that consumers respect and value. So if the government isn't doing it, we need to be doing it. And then we need to tell the government it's a good thing to do and they need to jump on. The second thing we do, and of course that's a great USP and a great attraction for a consumer to decide to sell their house with Remax, is that within Remax we do live the MLS idea, that we do live the idea of cooperation. Even though of course in a marketplace where you maybe have, like my hometown, there's probably, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 agents in the market, and there's maybe 50 or 70 or 100 Remax agents. If you have a seller or if you have a buyer and you're with Remax, then you have access to the clients and to the listing inventory of all the other Remax agents. And since our competitors don't have that, that's a USP that is lost. It probably was lost at some point in the US as well, because everybody has it. So it's not a unique USP anymore, not a unique advantage to being affiliated with Remax. So that's a great attraction, two of the main attractions why people join Remax, because they want to have the training and they want to have the ability to be in a pool of listings, in a pool of clients. And in terms of commission, many European laws allow for an agent, like my grandma, for example, that I used as an example, if she decides to become an agent tomorrow, and she's 97 years old, she decides to become an agent tomorrow, she can open her own brokerage the day after. There's no advanced requirement. There's no experience that you need to have in order to become a broker and open your own brokerage. And the agents don't have the necessity to be affiliated with a broker who has an E&O insurance and stuff like that. So this creates that most brokerages are small, and we have a model where we have very different models, and the different countries also differ a little bit. But generally, one model that's pretty common in all European countries is an 80-20 model. That's pretty much the highest split available, 20% to the broker, 80% to the agent, with a desk fee ranging, depending on the living standards of the country, but in Germany and in Austria, between maybe $600 and maybe $2,000 a month. So that's basically the maximum commission concept in a European fashion. And then below that, we have wrap systems like programs for people who want to start in real estate or are afraid of the desk fee and don't want to pay up front that much. And there's a ranging everything from having employed agents with maybe a 10% or 15% split up to the 80% I just described.
Actually, you know what? I mean, the more we delve into this, this I find it's actually fascinating, because what you're doing is you're creating professionalism. You're setting yourself apart. You're above the crowd, like you know our old saying. You're above the crowd with all the realtors. You're setting up yourself your own little MLS system, professionalism. And what's going to happen is the consumers are going to follow that. More and more, the more you become professional, the more that you have access to all these listings as a group, the more it becomes more professional. I believe clients and consumers are what drive everything ultimately, and the consumers are going to follow that. And I think you're going to change ultimately, if you stick with it long enough. You're going to change the whole real estate model in Europe.
This is what I said. You know, Remax in the 70s was a very disruptive maverick idea, and it changed to the benefit of every agent the model that we now work in North America. And I see the same thing happening in Europe. So my question to you, Misha, is, number one, if the requirement of a Remax agent is to be more educated, to be more professional, and if, number two, the sellers have access to a bigger buyer pool, and the buyers have access to a larger selling pool, how is that, those two unique selling propositions that are enormous value to the consumer, is which and what drives everything, how is that story being told to the consumer through the agents, through Remax, through this, so that they're becoming educated that there is an advantage, because mom and pop shop doesn't have the ability to network with thousands of agents to create an almost internal MLS system to the benefit of the consumer. How is that story being told to the public?
The cool thing, sometimes it feels a little bit like Back to the Future. Since I've worked in the US and we have some great leadership at Remax Europe, and those people really know how the Canadian and North American market work, since they also run some of the North American regions and Remax in Canada. And so it sometimes feels like Back to the Future. We kind of know which way to go already. We don't have to figure it out as much. We already know which way we're headed, and we're focused on that. But of course, there's things have happened, fortunately. And for example, the internet has come along in the meantime. And that radically also changed for all European agencies how things work, and also for the consumers. It's much easier for a buyer now to have, even though he still needs to call 30 agents to get 20 showings and maybe find his right house, he can find all the listing information in one central place, or going to two or three different portals, just like you guys have Zillow or Trulia and others. We have our local heroes, and those portals, they take a big chunk of the agent's revenue on one hand, but they also provide lots of benefit to the consumer, that the consumer can find the listing information. What our agents do, and I think they do a superb job in that, is really telling the consumer that if the buyer has an agent who helps him select the right house between different houses by cooperation, then it's a great benefit in terms of advice to them. And at the same time, and that's probably the biggest benefit, and that's where we probably attack the most now, is we contact thousands of FSBOs daily and help them understand how much it's a benefit to them if you have a big network and all of the people in the network have buyers for their house, potential buyers for their houses. So that's really the way they market it, and they use all their means that they have, from car signs to generic signs, for sale signs, listed cards, video marketing, customer events at movie theaters, everything you can imagine, just every marketing gadget, trick, invention that has happened in the last 10, 50, 20, 30 years, they've implemented it and they use it to their advantage. So that's great to see.
And it's very interesting too, because you know, Dave, here in North America, I don't know what the stats are, but for sale by owners is 1-3%, because they by going for sale by owner, you almost miss out on the huge network of buyers and sellers in that pool. I can see dramatically the number of 40-50% of for sale by owners in Europe diminishing as the big pool becomes more valuable. They'll have no choice but to jump in because of the value there, and that will, by its nature, start to eliminate the consumer, which ultimately isn't being represented. And right now you see a buyer that's not being represented. Do we see, Misha, a fact where someone says, you know, cooperation or not, here's $10,000 to the buyer agent, make sure I'm protected, go out there and help me find a place and be my advocate for me, or do we just, we not see that relationship or that model existing, and the buyer just sort of has to, you know, make sure that they're looking out for themselves?
The exclusive buyer agency, it hasn't really received any traction yet. That's something, that's a business model that's still to be explored and not really perceived yet as a very interesting model to many of the industry's agent. And at the moment, it also depends a little bit on your market. At the moment in our areas, we have a very, very, very tight inventory, much tighter than we've had in the last 3-4 decades. And so there's a ton of buyers out there and very little inventory. And once agents have inventory, they often don't want to cooperate and don't want to share their commission. So you don't want to, like, put yourself out and say to the buyer, oh, I'm going to find a property for you. And then at the end, you have maybe 10%, 15%, 20% of the other agents refusing to cooperate. So that's not sure if that's the model to follow or a business concept to follow at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that certainly is something that we need to keep in the back of our minds. And when time is mature for it, launch it in the market.
When markets change, that will change.
Yeah,
when the market change when it goes from a seller's market to a buyer's market, and it will, because there's no way it just keeps doing the same thing over and over. We just proved that here 3-4 years ago when we had our recession, so to speak.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of changes in the market, probably there over as well. That from a too much listing inventory to very tight listing inventory again, and back and forth, it goes over decades. So that's kind of what happens here as well, and we have to have the right model for the right market at the right time.
So that's very interesting. I mean, as a seller, if I had a property for sale in a very tight inventory market, I wouldn't want my home exposed to 4 people. I'd want it exposed to 400 potential buyers in the marketplace. So what is that unique way that you're seeing RE/MAX agents now, that, because once again, I think the marketing is much more a product focused than consumer focused based on the model. What sort of creative ways are you finding agents being able to expose property in a very tight inventory to the most buyers to be beneficial to the seller?
Well, it's probably, to many good agents out there, it's things that are basic steps for every agent to follow. When first you have to, like, if we look at the process, first the thing to look at is the mindset of the FSBO. The FSBO thinks, of course, that especially in a tight market, he just needs to put it on his property on a portal, and he's got 30 people calling, and from the 30 people calling, 20 will come, 1 will buy. And then he thinks he's got the best deal, and he saved his commission. So, of course, that's what the FSBO thinks. And the value
No different than the mindset here in North America. No different.
Same people. So what's the USPs that we can bring to the topic? We have to convince the owners and show them and prove them that by just putting it on one portal, they're just going to get a fraction of the buyers. And they might get maybe one offer, and then they have to lower their price a little bit, and then they make a sale. But if we had invested a little bit more in marketing, and we've maybe put up a sign, which in many cases is not very common. Many consumers are still hesitant to have signs up on their lawns. If we involve and market the property to other RE/MAX agents, as well as to other agents in the industry, as well as with flyers around the property, as well as ads in the newspaper, as well as different portals, as well as holding an open house, which is something also very uncommon here. Lockboxes, never seen here. So many of the traditional things you would perceive as traditional, if you do all of that and you explain to the owner, look, if you go to portal A, you're going to get 30 clients. If you do all of this, we're going to get 60 clients, and we're going to have maybe three or four offers, and that three or four offers will eventually maybe push the price even above the listing price or above asking price. So this is really real estate 101 basics in terms of marketing.
Okay, and the same thing applies. How then is that unique selling proposition? We all agree that the bit more people that know about the product that you can tell and has value, how are agents telling that story to the for sale by owner? How are they telling that through, you know, why you should use a RE/MAX agent video campaign? Are they emailing? Are they going door-to-door, door-knocking? Are they calling the for sale by owners? How is that message being told to the consumer? What avenue does that go through?
Yeah, they do what you just said. They some people are really good in cold calling and doing the door knocking and the farming and the flyering and all of that. And other people are good at video marketing and newsletter campaigns and doing 360 degrees videos, property videos. So they apply the same tactics there. And it's really and that's where I think that's why we have an advantage in a way, is that some of the things that are commonplace in other countries, like open houses, like lockboxes, like cooperation, like flyering, like a sign. When we started with RE/MAX here, there was no real estate company put signs up, let alone a sign with a picture of the agent. It was. They thought we were totally crazy. They thought we were Scientology. They thought we're—I don't know. Some people thought we were running for mayor because only usually parties, and political parties, put up signs with faces on. So, in that sense, we've already changed the way real estate marketing works, and we keep pushing some of the models that we've learned from North America. RE/MAX is a North American company, so we've took the best of that, moved it over to Europe, and then applied some insight that we got over the years, which we touched on before, which is the uniformity. One of the things that our agents really do very well, we have many of you probably know the RE/MAX Design Center.
Yep.
We have something similar. That Design Center is a lot more uniform than the North American Design Center. So many of the brochures are centrally produced and prepared. The brochures look similar, the business cards look similar, the flyers look similar, and it brings the message to the consumer much more, which helps our average commission per agent. And one of the things, for example, that really helps agents convince FSBOs is, for example, a small brochure that we internally call it the Trojan, the Trojan horse,
Yeah.
You know, the Greek mythology, the horse that they brought into the city of Troy. We call it the Trojan horse, and it's a small 4-page brochure. Before you go and visit the FSBO, you know where the property is. So you drive by, you take a couple of pictures from the property outside, you go back to the office, you upload the pictures to that design center. The next day, in the mail through UPS, you get that printed brochure. It features the property of the owner on the front page, and then inside the brochure, you have the different marketing pieces, like a sign or like other brochures or like flyers. And within those, the owner can see his own house already put into the brochure that's displayed within the brochure. And so you bring it to the client, and people are really surprised that you've actually visited the house before, you've printed a brochure personally for them, and it is a great entree to start any conversation about how to market their home in a better way and bring value and a better price to their family.
I totally agree, and that's what you said. What I kept the opportunities that exist, you know, Dave, to go back, and we're constantly now, Dave, you and I think, you know, agents have to find that unique selling proposition, because 2 years from now that will be gone. It's like the 360 virtual tour is just a commonplace thing here now. As now there's video marketing, and that will just be commonplace, and you constantly push forward. Right now, everything is a unique selling proposition, and the opportunities, Dave, are incredible.
Oh, it is. In Europe. Back when RE/MAX started here, this whole concept and the whole idea was in Dave Liniger's head and Frank Polzer. He's probably one of the owners there, or people from Canada, right?
He brought most of the knowledge over here.
But they just had these concept in their head, and they had to kind of fly by the seat of their pants, and they stuck with it, and now look what it is in the United States, and now it's spread to Europe. Now, you guys have the advantage, though, of all of this stuff, and you were here in Miami kind of experiencing it yourself. You know, the opportunities that you have in Europe, in my mind, after this show, and are just the resources you have and the track history that we have here and all around and other places in the world, the sky's the limit for you guys, Darren. You're going to do it so much faster than we were able to do it here.
It's really endless, because we have the help of technology. We have all the brain and knowledge that we took from other countries where RE/MAX has started earlier, and we implemented that here. And combined with technology and the education, we have a window of opportunity, because, of course, the other companies are not—they're not standing around. They're also moving, and some of them are moving fast. So we have a window of opportunity the next 10, 15, 20 years that will really position us as number one, as we already have in many markets. So that is really exciting, really, to see. And anybody who is thinking of going back to Europe and seeing how that is, and we have a few agents who worked in North America. And moved back because they're either first or second or third generation and wanted to get in touch with their home countries. I can encourage everyone who's thinking about it, with the knowledge and the ideas and concepts you have from over there, you'll crush it here. So come and join the European convention and get a firsthand feel on how that is working out.
Okay, on that note, there's two more things. This is running long, but about the European convention, over top of your shoulder, You've got the address. It goes October 21st to 23rd in Berlin. Go ahead and just give a plug of what people have in store for the European Convention in October.
Before I get into that, let's not forget about the Children Miracles Network, because that's even more important. But right behind that is the European Convention. If you want to get the chance of seeing something impressive, then come to the European Convention. It's a tremendous event organized by great staff in Europe, RE/MAX Europe. A shout out to Sebastian, Olivia, and Britta, and all the others there. And what you can get out of that is 1,000 RE/MAX agents from 30 countries coming, brainstorming, learning ideas, sharing ideas, best practices, and talking about how one idea in one place helps myself, maybe in North America or Canada, or maybe if you want to move back, implement it and really improve my life, your life, and everybody's life in the RE/MAX system. So we have a very great agenda ahead of us, and one of the things that I'm very much looking forward, apart from all the real estate talk that we're going to have, of course, is something very special. You guys probably know our logo, the hot air balloon, of course, and you probably remember many years ago there was a race around the globe, two guys, one of them was Dave Liniger, I think, trying to attempt to go around the entire world with a hot air balloon. And he had a competitor, and that competitor was Bertrand Piccard. And this guy was the first man on go around the Earth with a hot air balloon. And now he's had a second challenge. He's actually in the middle of his second challenge. And you might have heard of it on the news. He's flying around the globe with the first solar-powered flight. So I brought you a picture. Let's see.
It's incredible.
Right? This is the plane. while he's landing, I think on, I'm not sure if that was Hawaii, but he recently landed on Hawaii, and this guy is coming to the convention. He's going to talk about his experiences by being in the air many days in a row just with his team member and hoping to get home and around the globe safely. So I'm tremendously looking forward to that talk. And apart from that, the other part picture I brought you is a picture of the party in Barcelona last year. And Berlin is going to be even greater. Let's see if I can position it. Yeah. So imagine 1,000 people in a great place. And if you haven't been to Berlin, it's a great mixture and an interesting place to be after the wall came down exactly 25 years ago. So you're going to have a blast in the city, and you're going to learn so many new things. And of course, you can deduct it from your taxes as well.
So go to remax.de/convention. Sign up October 21st to 23rd. Misha, it's going to be fantastic. This has been, and I have like 12 more questions that we didn't get to ask you because.
I just lost my.
It is interesting. It's North American. Agent wants to refer business. I pick up the phone. I send Dave a referral. It's a buyer, and they're taken care of. So in this model, if I have a seller here in Langley, seller place, and they're moving back to Germany, or they're moving to Germany, and I want to send a referral out to another agent, how does that function given the model is so different?
It works exactly the same way as you guys are used to. You pick up the phone, fax, email the guy, the client, and you get your referral commission check with a regular 25% of one side transaction. So it works very similar to that. The obstacle and the fun part we sometimes have with this is cross country, of course, with language barrier. So with English, it's not big of a problem, but in some countries, one guy doesn't speak English, the other guy doesn't speak German, and then it's going to get interesting. But many friendships have started that way, so it's fun.
Fantastic. So all the people going out to the European Convention, there's a lot of networking opportunity to obviously build your global referral network. And once again, all of us together as RE/MAX agents will benefit each other and also the consumer too as well. Dave, I'm going to go to screen share, but there's something that you wanted to talk about at the end of the show, Misha, before we say goodbye to you. But let's do that right now because it's really important not only to you, Dave, but to myself and RE/MAX agents around the world. Why don't you talk about what you want to talk about, and I'll put it up on the screen.
Well, I mean, I just kind of got this little thing. I was in an email. It came from RE/MAX in New Jersey, I believe. But it's a little there's the screen share right there. And actually, because other than my wife, I find J-Lo to be one of the sexiest women in the world. So she's our spokesman, if you guys don't know that. But you can go to that URL. Michael can read it out. I sent him a text to it. And there's a little video there if you want to. Michael, can you click on the video or
well,
no?
I think you'll hear the audio.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just, where are we here? Sorry.
And you can get this band that I have. And each
we see miracles all the time at our children's hospital. The first smile after surgery. A girl walking when they said she wouldn't. Parents getting good news. But miracles never come easy. That's why as great as children's hospitals are, they need our support to keep miracles happening. Put your money where the miracles are. Support your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
What you can do is go right to that website and click on the bottom, and they will send you one of these. They'll send you one of these bands, like I have right here, and encourage the agents in your office to do the same thing, and put it on your Facebook page and pass it around and get people to have a little more awareness of the Children's Miracle Network, the hospitals, and what they do.
Give.childrensmiraclenetworkhospitals.org. Give.childrensmiraclenetworkhospitals.org is the website. So I'm going to go stop screen share. And on that note, we're very involved in it. All of our T-shirt sales that we've done go to Bruce Johnson's for the Children's Miracle Network. Want to give a shout out to anyone heading over to the Canadian Convention in Victoria. I know that Craig Pilgrim is organizing another 5K run, all the money going to the Children's Miracle Network, but get this, Dave. He's organizing hungry human hippos. And what it's going to be, it's going to be four of those mechanical dollies, and you lay on your stomach with a clothes hamper, and we're going to be life-size hungry hippos with hungry human hippos. And so that'd be great to get, you know, Gurinder Sandhu and Elton Ash laying on their stomach with a laundry tub trying to get balls. All the money will go to the Children's Miracle Network. So it's a huge, huge thing. And Dave, I know that you're really passionate about it too as well. So it's fantastic. Misha, before we let you go, how do people get a hold of you over in Germany? How do people connect with you if they want to ask questions, if they want to become a Remaxer over in Europe? How can they get in touch with you?
Just Google me. Or go to that go to the website you see in the background and find me on there. It's really easy. If you Google for my name, you'll find me right away. And if you come to the Remax convention and you see me, make sure to say hello, to approach me, and we'll have a drink together.
Sounds good. I'll do that. M-I-S-C-H-A-K-U-N-Z. And for everyone that doesn't know this, when I get out to New Jersey and we do the live Mobile Agent TV show on the 20th, Dave is taking me and Valerie Garcia straight from there to the airport to take a red eye overnight, land the next day at the convention in Berlin, speak that day, and then fly back home. So I will see you. I will see you shortly, Misha, and I will see you soon, Dave. Dave, take away from the show.
Well, I said it already. I'll say it one more time. Anybody that ever complains about the way you have to do things here in the States, just look at the way they're doing it there. But, you know, that's the way it used to be. And the opportunity that the Remax has now brought to the agents in that country and the consumers more than the agents, it's fascinating. You guys are just you're going to change the consumer's experience there in Europe. Remax will.
And remember the basics and promote the brand. It will help you in the long run.
And Dave, what you said, I think, is really interesting on that note. This is a consumer-driven industry. If you lose focus, I mean, it's so evident in the European model that that's the way to win, and sometimes we lose that here. Focus on the consumer. Be a servant to the consumer. Take care of them. Build a business, and you will win. We've got to keep reminding ourselves that be above the crowd, to be better educated so the consumer can win, and that's the ultimate way to build a great business. Next week's show, we have Judy Weiniger coming on the show. It's going to be fascinating. 15 questions of a top producing Remax agent. The insight, the way she's going to speak next week, the way she will be very real with you, will going to bring a ton of value to everyone. Really encourage everyone. That is October the 4th, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll put you in the hands of the right Remax agent. Any referrals coming out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me, and I'll put you in the hands of the right Remax agent. Looking forward to seeing everyone in Victoria and in New Jersey coming up. And that's it. As Melanie Gallia would like us to end every show, please tell five other Remax agents about Mobile Agent TV. We grow our audience every week. It allows us to reach out for the very first time to go over to Europe and have Misha Kuntz come on and give us an hour of his time. And for all the new viewers over in Europe, welcome. This is episode 90. We've got 90 past episodes of amazing content with amazing guests. And it's not amazing content because of you and I, Dave, although we're not so bad. But it's all the incredible people that have come on the show for the last 3 years and shared so openly and honestly to improve our business, to raise the bar, just like Misha did today. You can go to mobileagenttv.com and get all the past information, as well as you can sign up for the newsletter there. And all you do is you'll get a little video a couple days before the show letting you know who's coming on the show and what the content is going to be. And that's it. I can't thank you enough, Misha, for coming on the show. I will hunt you down for that drink here shortly in about a month and a half, and look forward to seeing you. And Dave, thanks so much. I've missed you. We took the summer off, but now we're back, and go Mets.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, too, for making this happening. Goodbye.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Misha. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll see you all next week.